I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Annie Fry Show YouTube live chat poll of the day is sponsored by Ruler Foods. Low prices, no coupons. Ruler Foods.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio.
Don't get me wrong, I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. We've seen protests coming all over the place in this country right now, and a lot of them are surrounding the events going on in Israel. And Brad, I was thinking, like, in 2020, we were, I think May, didn't George Floyd die in May? I think he did.
Yeah.
But from there on, what, the summer of love came out of that, and May 25th, so at the end of May. But we left spring and went into summer, and it was protesting everywhere.
Yes, everywhere. I remember seeing videos. That was when that gas station downtown burnt or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing, well, basically all of Minneapolis up in flames. Night after night of D.C., Black Bloc protesters,
I think
Antifa.
There were some in Philadelphia, maybe.
Philadelphia, up in Seattle. I mean, that whole area, Seattle and Oregon, Portland, Oregon, that whole Pacific Northwest, it was just a constant thing there. They had the Chaz Chop thing for a while.
It went on and on and on.
Yeah.
And a lot of destruction came of it. And it lent to the discontent that people felt combined with COVID. So, it's just, boy, you know how, like, you go through times where you're, like, dealing with a lot personally? Maybe not everybody knows that you're dealing with a lot personally, but you know you're dealing with a lot. You're just trying to get through the day. The country was going through a lot personally.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking right now about these protests that we see at universities, in the streets, on bridges. They're consistent. They have a consistent message. And I wonder what the message actually is that they're sending. We've talked with Jim Carafano about this, but I think it's kind of important to pay attention right now, because I do believe that the left 100% used those protests and the disarray of the country in that time. I do believe that they used that politically.
Oh, for sure.
It was an advantage to them. they were able to instill in the country a hatred of law enforcement, dissatisfaction with law enforcement, at best, just kind of a quieting the support for law enforcement that still lingers today. I think we've recovered from a lot of it. And I mean, sitting in St. Louis, Missouri right now, a lot of the places who went hard on that hands up, don't shoot, were sitting right there in the eye of the storm from the Michael Brown situation that we had here in St. Louis. It's very important to understand that what was used politically was not quieted in the local places where they had the ability to do so. They would have had to use law enforcement to do it in many cases, but these were very blue places. These were very Democrat-led areas that experienced all of this protesting, and it just festered. Now we're in an election year again. We're coming up on spring once again, and we're seeing these protests become very disruptive across the country, and you have to ask yourself, what is the consistent message here? And I don't think that it has as much to do with what's going on overseas as it has to do with what's going on here in this country. I think that there is a deep-seated hatred for the United States of America. And when you feel righteously indignant about the thing that you're upset about and angry about, you're going to do whatever you feel you need to do in order to make sure that everybody else has that same righteous indignation. And I don't think that if we somehow, do you guys think for a second that if somehow or another Joe Biden whipped up a two-state solution that Israel and Palestine would collectively agree to come together in peace over there, that all of these people would be okay with the United States of America?
Not a chance.
Not a chance. And if that's, if that non-reality were to come to fruition, and it wouldn't appease the people who are protesting now, then what are they actually protesting? Because that's not what they're not advocating. If there's a ceasefire, they're going to have a next step. They're going to have the next thing that they want to engage in. They're going to have the next demand that they're going to make. And they're making it on the American people. They're making it on the American government. They have a fundamental disgust with the idea of the United States of America. I have literally no patience for it. What makes America the most great, which is, if you listen to us talking about Hans earlier in the show, what makes America so great is our First Amendment. They are exercising their First Amendment rights in the United States of America by way of these protests. Go back to what Jim Carafano said on Tuesday. What you do when you protest, your act of civil disobedience results in you being arrested and processed, and it's the sacrifice you're willing to make to get the message across.
Yes.
The idea that you just get to go disrupt everything in perpetuity is not how it goes. You still have to have law and order in place. And if people want to disrupt the order of things to gain attention, law and order can't just say, okay, First Amendment rights, you guys can shut everything down. You can shut the Golden Gate Bridge down. You can shut traffic down. You can cause a civil disturbance that is making it an unsafe and untenable situation for the people who are here in this area, and we'll just let you do it. That's not how it works, but it is how it's happening. And again, it's because the people who are in these areas are not willing to do what they need to do. Watch Florida handle one of these scenarios. They're not willing to do what they need to do to maintain law and order. But why would you maintain law and order if you hate the law and you don't respect the order? It all makes sense. Everything needs to be turned upside down at every angle that they can come in and infiltrate our understanding of the way of things. That is how they disrupt and disorder and destroy the United States of America. And I'm just not here for it. I'm not interested in it. I mean, do you watch these people at Columbia University? You think that there's something that's going to happen overseas that's going to make these people go, All right, that's we got it. We won. We did it. Let's go to our American homes and be peaceful.
For the most part, I look at these people and what I see is people without a vision or without a goal, without a cause, without a purpose in life. And so they latch on to what, and maybe not the leaders, definitely not the leaders. The leaders are using most of those people that are there. They get them to latch on to some sort of emotional cause that they really don't know about. Because if you ask them about it, they'll start talking. And then when they start sounding silly about it, then they like refuse to talk to anybody, or somebody comes over and be like, stop talking to these people. They're right wingers or whatever. They shut it down. It's people without purpose, and society and culture has removed that from them. The things that we've told society, the things that society has told these people that we built our society on, marriage, raising a family, you know, community, they've told them all these things are bad. They're just ways of destroying it. And so now these people go into the world. They don't have any purpose. They're just ships without an anchor. And whatever person comes along and stirs their emotion, they go along with it. And so, yeah, to your point, if there was suddenly an Israel-Palestinian two-state solution that they both agreed to, that group of people would be on to the next thing to complain about. They're just malcontent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not interested in watching all of these protesters and taking at face value on the surface what their protest is about, and feeling like, okay, this is going to be something that is solvable. And truthfully, politically, Joe Biden, he doesn't even know what to do with it, because he's going to have to serve two different masters within the Democratic Party, and he can't do it. It's irreconcilable on the surface. I really do feel like I want to know how many of the people who are at Columbia University right now, how many people have been in the streets of New York City, how many people who started the Golden Gate Bridge protests. There was the one outside of O'Hare Airport in Chicago. How many of these people have been the Black Lives Matter activists, who have been the Pink Hat activists, who have been at these things? And it's like, What uniform are we wearing today? All right, let's get it on. Let's get our pink hats out today. Okay, it's Friday. Let's get our watermelon balloons out this time. I just don't believe it. Mm-mm. It's an industry. They've industrialized political discontent. It's monetizable for them. Just go look at the books for what they have done through Black Lives Matter, the amount of money. This is how good America is. And it's weird. This is a roundabout way of getting to it. This is how kind-hearted and good and generous America is. People saw the George Floyd situation, and they felt very bad about the George Floyd situation. A lot of people spoke up and felt that there was some sort of disparity in how Black people are treated from law enforcement and white people. Details be damned. That was the rash, knee-jerk reaction to that situation. There's a lot more that goes into it. But most people didn't take the time to super research that specific scenario. You can go to other situations. The man in, and I can think of Breonna Taylor, was an unfortunate, sad situation. The guy who was walking, the people who shot him, I can't remember his name, Antonio? I'll have to go back and I'm going to get his name right here before the show gets over, because his name deserves to be spoken. Two white guys saw him, thought he was stealing something, shot him, killed him. I think it was in Georgia?
It was in Georgia.
Georgia. Should we be paying closer attention to bad cops and holding them 100% accountable? We absolutely should.
Ahmaud Arbery.
Ahmaud. That's right. Ahmaud Arbery. Thank you for pulling that up. It's an incredibly sad situation. I'm not ever going to be an absolutist on saying, you know, all these people are good and all these people are bad. And if you're somebody who's saying that about all these people are good and all those people are bad, then you're just as bad as the other side that's doing the same thing in reverse. But the kindness and generosity of people in this country poured money into Black Lives Matter. And there are a lot of organizations that did so in a virtue signaling-esque kind of way. But I know a lot of people in my life who are really good people who supported that cause. I don't know that they would still say necessarily that they would support the idea, but not necessarily the organization. And people gave because they have compassion and they have love for one another. And honestly, I think it's because this country is much better than those who are trying to destroy it want to give it credit for. Those people exist on both sides of the political aisle. But when you industrialize protest, when you industrialize anger and political capital so that you can enrich people who know how to, oh, we got a cause, let's go, move it, move it, move it. You printing the t-shirts, you're bussing the people in. I mean, I can think of the Nashville school shooting. They had that when mm-hmm. the transgender individual went in and shot up that school, they had protests. They had protests in Atlanta, Georgia. After there was a death there, I actually happened to be trying to travel through Atlanta when they shut down the highway there. People are emotional, and most of the time, most American people, in my opinion, are emotional for the right reasons. The more you learn about something, the less emotional you become and the more knowledgeable you come about it. But people are good people. The people who come out to the streets, who get these things going, who work people up many, many times, have done the same thing for many, many causes. And again, is an industry. Ask yourself when you see these protests on the television or in your social media feed, ask yourself what these people really want, what they really hate, and what would really have to happen for them to be satisfied. That's all I have to ask myself to say, no, thank you. I pass. Please get out of the street. Let's take a quick break. Congressman Mike Boss is going to be with us here in a minute. We're going to talk to him about a lot of the consternation taking place in the House of Representatives, see what he has to say about that, and if this House is going to be able to get the work done that they need to get done to protect their majority and to represent those conservatives, Republicans that sent them in office to act as such. Mike Bost, in a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Appreciate you being with us this afternoon. I want to get straight up to, with our next guest and talk to Congressman Mike Boss. Congressman, thanks for being back with us. It's good to have you here.
Annie, thank you for having me on.
Of course. You represent, of course, Illinois' 12th district. I just want to give you the opportunity to talk about what we're all hearing about Speaker Johnson and the frustration that some people in the House are having with him and where you think this is headed.
Well, let me tell you what Speaker Johnson is wanting to do. Both conservatives and moderate Republicans believe it was a good idea. There's just a few that don't believe it's a good idea. And with that rule in place that says they can make a motion to vacate the chair, there's a couple of them that are, I guess, wanting to do that again now, which is probably, but let me kind of explain it to you. So when we're talking about splitting the question, it's not anything new, and then bringing it back together before we send it to the Senate so the Senate can't mess with it. That's been done about 50 times in the last 10 years. And basically what it would do, it would split the question. It would allow each one of us to make the votes on Israel funding by itself, Ukraine funding by itself, Taiwan funding by itself, and then the other part of the bill would be a single vote, which we've made several times already, and that's the border, H.R. 2 by itself. And that's fine. They want to get another vote for that. The problem is we've got two of them already sitting over in the Senate, and they aren't taking it up. But, I mean, I'll be glad to vote for it a third time. But so the idea and intent is that's considered regular order. And what's really funny, some of the people that are in opposition and even threaten to make a motion to vacate the chair are the ones that demanded that we have regular order before. And they want regular order when it's good for them. And that seems to be a problem in this place. Yeah. But so we're watching now, the real issue that's going on right now is trying to get the rules out of the Rules Committee. And, you and I have talked about this. I agree with the Freedom Caucus on a lot of things. I really do. And I'm not a member of the Freedom Caucus because of stuff like this. So there are when Kevin McCarthy was Speaker, one of the deals that was cut is that on the Rules Committee, there would be three Republicans that were from the Freedom Caucus. Well, right now, those three Republicans are holding up the rule that allows us to actually separate the question. They've been in since 9 o'clock last night. No, they were in all late, and then came back in at 9 o'clock this morning. They're still in the Rules Committee as we speak, and so it's held up. And I hope we get an opportunity, because if you break it down, I'm going to vote for the support of Israel. There's no doubt. I will be voting to support that, and they need this done right away. Ukraine, the only reason I would support Ukraine, but I want to know, as well as I'm sure my district would want to know, that the money is actually going to go for beans, bullets, Band-Aids, and actually be used like it's supposed to be used, not abused like the money we sent the last time, where we found out that it was going for basically kickbacks and some other things that was questionable at best. And so we need to have the oversight on that. Taiwan, I think I'll have to weigh that one out. I think that we're – and basically what that's doing is that's building up armament, send a clear message to China. So I'll be studying that when we see the actual language and make that decision. And like I said, on the other issue, it's I voted for it two other times. I'm going to vote for it a third time if need be.
I think that there is always a lot of hay to be made over Republican infighting. I think people like to highlight it. It's dramatic. It looks interesting to talk about and to get people worked up. And it probably the attention to it feeds it quite a bit as well. But we've got about 200, I think it's 201 days until Election Day. And I'm watching as the speaker seat could be vacated once again. Is there any possibility in your mind whatsoever that come Election Day, we would have a Democrat be the Speaker of the House before Election Day happens?
Well, it could happen in the fact that if you have something happen to as far as individual members, because right now we only have a 2-seat majority. But that being said, remember this, we have three other seats that have pending elections. Mm-hmm. Remember, when a person vacates a seat for whatever reason and has to leave Congress, which we've had that happen, you don't wait till the next election. You start planning on the state then has to have a special election to get somebody to replace them. That usually takes 2 to 3 months. So within the next few weeks and the next month, we'll be back up to a four-person majority.
We're speaking with Congressman Mike Bost of Illinois' 12th District. He's the chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee as well. On the Democrat side, I saw that the House had a resolution to condemn Iran's airstrikes on Israel. Republican Thomas Massie voted against that, I think for different reasons than the 13 Democrats who voted against it.
Yeah. Remember Tom Massie, at his own admission, is a libertarian.
Yes.
Okay. And so that's not the first time you would see Tom Massie do something like that. The Democrats, you can pretty well guess who they were.
Cori Bush right here in St. Louis is one of them.
That's right. That's right. And I don't understand that, voting against our voting, that it's all right to attack our greatest ally in the way that they did, with the amount of missiles that they did, actually, which could have killed a whole lot. And unfortunately, it did kill a 7-year-old girl. But we were able to stop a majority of that by working together. And remember, it's very clear now about Iran, which we've known all along. Everybody in the intelligence world knew that Iran is the one that's the people who are fighting out there are their proxies. And for them to actually now fire. But I guess I'm bothered most by the fact that we've got a president that says that we should tell or an administration that says we should tell Israel not to retaliate in any way, shape or form. You know what? They're a free nation. We don't control them any more than they would control us after 9/11 and told us we couldn't go and aggressively attack those who did that to us. So I don't know, you know, what Israel is going to do. Strategically, I would say that knowing how Israel normally works, they would know and identify where the missiles had been fired from and go back and destroy the areas where are the equipment that did the launching. And that would be a retaliatory strike. Another retaliatory strike could be the drones that were sent. Those are the exact same drones that Russia uses against Ukraine, and the factory is in Iran. So could that be a strike? That's a possibility too. But we you know, for us to tell them what they can or cannot do, I think the answer should have been from ours. They have options on the table, mm-hmm. and they will make their own decision.
Congressman Mike Boss speaking with us right now. I wanted to ask you about the Mayorkas impeachment, brought mm-hmm. it over to the Senate. In your time in the House, as they've gone through the hearings with Mayorkas, the Republicans vote to impeach in the mm-hmm. House, gets over to the Senate, and they do what they did yesterday. Are the Democrats sending a clear message on what's taking place at the southern border, or is this just politics being played right now? Do you think it's a direct connection to how they feel about the actual situation?
I think that they will. Democrats stick together. They always have. You have the occasional Joe Manchin. Joe Lieberman, different ones over the years that become a little bit independent. But for the most part, they're going to lockstep. And what they're doing right now is lockstepping, saying that they say what the president is, I guess, doing is okay. And that they believe that Mayorkas has handled the job correctly, which obviously I don't. And the thing is, we impeached Mayorkas. But remember, he's following the orders of the commander in chief.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's two or more at fault here. And to just put your head in the sand with and it is, you know, believe me, because the primary that we had, you do a lot of polling. There's no question what the main issue in this nation is, and it's the loss of control on that southern border. It doesn't matter whether it's the fentanyl come across, the human trafficking, the thing that's affecting every neighborhood, that it's not going to suck our tax dollars dry to try to support people and give them giveaway programs that have come across this border illegally, and then just encourage it to happen, and then attacking are trying to sue the state that is actually trying to protect itself and do its constitutional duty to protect its own border. So,
Congressman, before we let you go, I wanted to give you the opportunity to tell us what is being done in the House right now. There's always the salacious, dramatic things that get out there in the media and that we seize upon here. Is the work of the American people still being done in Congress, or is it tied up in this drama?
Well, it is. We did several things this week. We sent some very, very clear messages. There were 15 bills that we voted on this week, either sanctioned out of the House, I'm talking about, either sanctioning Iran for what happened this last week, or actually emboldening and encouraging Israel. So there were 15 different items from different committees we were able to get out to the floor this week. As far as our VA work, we're doing our VA work mostly in oversight. We are arguing over, not arguing, but doing our jobs to discuss which bills that we're going to be able to bring to in what is known as our yearly package, which should have been done about Veterans Day, but there's been some games played there, and mm-hmm. so we're moving that, and we will do that. There's some really good bills in there, including including Elizabeth Dole's bill for the providing for the home care family members that are taking care of our veterans at their home for our wounded veterans. So there's a lot of good things we're doing. It's just all you hear about, obviously, is the things yep. that we're just talking about.
Well, Congressman Boss, thank you for fitting us into your afternoon and
thank
for
you.
Giving us the update. We appreciate you very much. Thanks for being here.
Annie, thank you. Look forward to talking to you again. Thank
Sounds
you.
Good. Bye-bye. He's Illinois 12th District Representative, Chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, Congressman Mike Bost. Let's take a quick break. Come join us on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. The YouTube poll for today is, how'd you feel when you turned 40? Were you happy, sad, indifferent, or you're not 40 yet? We'd love to hear what you think. You go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and go vote. Leave a comment if you so choose. We'll be right back.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Hey, you guys, this is the Annie Fry Show, and I'm going to take over for just a minute.
Your favorite song?
I do love that song. I was dancing. I want to get into the poll in just a second, but I got to tell you first that I was talking with management here, Steve and Trisha and everybody, and they said, don't you dare go on the air today and celebrate. And I said, I can't. I can't keep quiet.
It sounds just like Steve and Trisha.
I have to celebrate.
Steve, or Trisha just brought me a Fountain Dew.
I know, and I was disappointed to see that because it kind of ruined my bit. But, you know, these people are so against celebrating. And to me, this is a huge day. And I've been preparing for this day for months. And I'm super excited about it. And in fact...
Do you have a doctor's appointment out? Is this what we're talking about?
Yeah.
The proctologist after work?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm going to see the butt doctor.
It's amazing that you prepared and still came into work for that.
I know. I know. And
usually
it was a lot of preparation. Yeah. You know those weird outfits they make you wear? I've been having to wear those like all the time at night.
Do you know those weird outfits?
I have no idea what he's talking about. The gowns?
Was this something to celebrate?
Well, he said he was a proctologist. Anyway, we're here to celebrate. This is a huge day. And I actually made something specifically.
You did work?
For this day. Yeah. That's how big of a deal this is. So I'm going to play this now.
I'm flattered at this point in time.
Yeah. Here we go. This is for you.
Today is a day we've all been looking forward to. Today is April 18th, and we've been waiting to celebrate this day for months. And what's more, she had no idea we were doing this. But she's the engine who makes the Annie Fry Show run.
Sure.
And today is her big day. Leah Olmstead. April 18th is National Exercise Day, and Leah is a CrossFit fanatic. She inspires us to be our physical best at all times.
Yep.
And today, we celebrate her on her big day. Also, Annie turned 40 today. Congratulations, Leah Olmstead.
Leah Olmstead,
on April 18th,
everybody.
National Exercise Day.
Brian, I hate you.
Yeah. Celebrate good times, everybody. Today is National Exercise Day. You can look it up if you're not believing me.
All
I
right.
didn't just make that up.
And to honor National Exercise Day, Leah and Ryan are now going to do push-ups and see who can do more.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's
we sure
it.
Are. I'm going to do the kind you do from your knees.
You're going to say the kind you get out of your freezer. I can eat 12 push-ups.
Uh-huh. I can, although the orange ones are just okay. The raspberry ones are super good, and the grape ones are pretty good. Let's talk about some gifts now.
Connoisseur.
Yeah.
Can you do a push-up?
Can I do a push-up? Come on now. The show started with Brad saying, hey, fat guy, you look like the fat Backstreet Boy.
Nobody remembered that, but now you've brought it back.
And now Leah asked if I can do a push-up.
Can you?
Of course I can do a push-up. It's been many years since I've tried, but I assume.
I think we need to see.
Yeah.
No.
You wanted to make this about National Exercise Day. Let's go, buddy. If you don't do it, then obviously you can't.
Well, right. I guess there's a lot of logic in that.
Isn't this how you get men to do things? Like this? No, it's okay.
All right, Leah.
There.
That was good.
That was a decent push-up.
Yeah.
See, that was a push-up.
Yeah.
Why does your face look
like
that?
That was a legitimate push-up. You sound a little winded.
Are you red?
And I just got the presidential medal.
I've never done a pull-up in my life, ever. I was saying that to my trainer the other day. He goes, do you want to? And I'm like, no. None.
Your trainer said, do you want to do a pull-up?
Yeah. Well, he looked at me like, oh, there's a goal. And I'm like, there's no goal. Nope. Happy with it. I don't need to do pull-ups. Not interested in it.
I will say that my brother, Nick, is so physically fit and so strong.
Yeah.
And he's an elevator worker. Like, he's got to be strong and, like, lift himself up. That dude, anytime there's any sort of physical challenge, I just sort of concede. And so I'm glad to be able to do a push-up because I don't even try because my brother and I are the only ones that ever talk about that stuff. And I'm like, no, you're going to win. It doesn't matter. So anyway, congratulations to Leah. The big gift that we got, though, was...
Leah, what's your favorite workout? What's your favorite thing to do when you're exercising?
Back squat. It's something I've always been good at, and I beat all the guys at my gym, so...
Do you think that you could lift more than Ryan?
Yes.
Ryan, do you think you can lift more than Leah?
What is a back squat?
No, just in general, in anything. Do you think you could outlift Leah in anything?
Probably not. I'm trying to think.
You're comfortable with it? Well, I mean, she's don't take this the wrong way, but she's young and studied.
Mm-hmm. And I'm the fat Backstreet Boy.
I didn't say that.
I did.
I said insane.
He called me Joey Fatone.
That's not what he said. He said fat one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I get it now. No, I
that
think.
That was the joke.
If I were to. Like, you think, Leah?
Yeah.
Honestly, do you think you could go out in that park right there and, like, rip a tree up by its roots? Like, are you that strong?
That dead one would probably come right out.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Could you?
I don't know. I was thinking about it. Never tried.
You don't want to show off.
Yeah.
I get it.
I don't want to, especially in the park.
Who could hold a plank longer? That's what they're asking.
Who could hold the plank?
I'm not good at that.
Those are the devil.
So we could do that. Yeah, they are.
I've never tried. Have you tried planking?
Yeah.
Everybody planks.
It's a common exercise.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is it?
I don't really exercise.
You're not fat.
Of course I'm not fat, but I could lose a little weight there. I mean, that's true.
But that's everybody but over that's 40, everybody. Which is why I've been trying really hard to come into 40 not as bad as it could be.
Are you going
to
answer the poll question?
What is it? How did you feel when you turned 40 this morning? I think I was born at 418. I'm not 40 yet.
Oh, that was a strategic move on your part then.
Yeah, it was.
Because you can say, I'm not 40 yet. Okay, answer number four.
I think, Lee, this is, I loved being in my 30s. I 34 was the best year I ever had. And outside of that, I think that 40, it's not really 40 that scares me, but it's like 49 that scares me. And now we're like talking the same first digit number. And then, you know, I've seen a lot of people commenting on here like, wait until you turn 50. Well, I've been thinking that since I turned 30, like, oh, wait until you turn 40. And now I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the thing that sometimes cripples me in fear is how fast time moves.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, I mean, I'm a pretty healthy person. I've maybe alluded to this a little bit on the show over the past 6 to 8 weeks, but I decided I still can't talk about the June thing. I've got something coming up, I think, that I'm going to be able to announce soon. But I had two goals. One was my birthday and one is June. And I've been trying to get as fit as I can. And in that 6 to 8 weeks, I didn't give myself a weight loss number. I didn't give myself like I want to be able to do a pull up. It was not any of that. I wanted to get myself into a routine with my health, which was hopefully going to reflect in my weight loss. But I wanted to work on my sleep. I wanted to work on eating. I actually realized I needed to eat more calories, better calories, but more calories, and just get myself into a flow of a routine that I actually participated in because I enjoyed it. You were talking yesterday about, I'm going to do this for 30 days. I am the queen of that.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, by my birthday, I want to be in a routine that I can stick with. I want to start investing in healthy routines and not be a prisoner to a number on a scale or a pant size or a dress size or anything. I just want to live a life where I'm not always going, I got to get to the finish line.
Lifestyle stuff.
Completely. And
sustainable.
It was mid-February when I did this. I've lost 9 pounds since then. It's like 9 pounds that I've lost that are 9 really good pounds. I know how many pounds of muscle I've put on while also losing 9 pounds. And I'm sleeping better. I'm eating more than I've ever eaten before, but I'm eating better in that regard. So I kind of feel empowered by that. I know everyone says like, oh, just, you know, just eat right and exercise. I am doing that, but there's so much mental stuff that goes into that. And so I'm really focusing on that. And I'm really actually more happy with myself than I've been in a long time just because I've done it and I can keep doing it. But the second that I allow my mind to trail off into the passage of time, I start to freak out.
So you would answer the poll question number 4, I'm not 40 yet.
Yeah, I'm not 40 yet. I got to ask my mom. I think it was born at 6 p.m. or something. It was a Wednesday.
That was around that same time.
Yeah.
I think I was in the afternoon. Brad, do you want to answer this one? Because you also are over 40.
How did I feel when I turned 40? I would say I was happy. Every birthday that I have is a blessing. And I, you know, went through some health experiences that I've talked about on the air a lot. And so every birthday that I have from the time I was 28 till the time I pass away, I'm going to look at it as a blessing and I'll be happy that I got another one. But Annie's right. The passage of time makes you go, whoa. But I'll tell you what I've also found is that even though when you hit that age, you don't really feel any different than you did at 39. You don't feel any different at 40.
The hard part to me has been, and maybe this is just because we're in media, but it seems like it would apply to probably most positions, is that you're saying now, it's like a benchmark that you're saying, well, I'm over 40.
Yeah.
And that means something in the workplace or in the public sphere that doesn't, you don't feel it,
mm-hmm.
but it does mean something. And you have to kind of own up to the fact that you're over that benchmark.
Do you remember when your parents turned 40?
I do.
That felt some way. I remember when when I was a kid, when my friend had like the oldest parents among us. Yeah. I remember when they turned 50 and I was like,
oh yeah,
50. Oh my gosh. I legit still mentally feel like I'm in my late 20s, maybe early 30s. But you just, you know, every time you hit one of those big benchmarks, I don't think it's about the one you're on. I think it's about the new one that's within reach. And it you can let it fester. Leah picked the music today. She said these are all songs from 1984. I don't know half of them, even though they're in my folder. But I know there are a lot of people listening who are digging the music today. Credit to Leah for picking those. We'll be right back. I'll open presents in a little bit.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.